Hey there, welcome to line number 51, God Doesn't Love Me. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. We are continuing this conversation through my Know Your Worth study in regards to these lies that we feel, or just honestly, they're not even lies, but I mean, well, they are lies, let's be honest, but these feelings that I often encounter with women that God doesn't love me and God doesn't care about me and I don't feel good enough for God. And we're going to continue to address this the rest of the month of December. So if this is your first time here, I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. But if you've been listening along, we're getting into this next lie that God doesn't love me. This 4-week Know Your Worth study is coming out in the beginning of January 2021. At the time of this recording, it is December 2020, and we are excited to start a new year. I think everybody can say amen to that. And I'm really excited for you to be able to get this 4-week study. And guess what? It is free. It's absolutely free for you. You can do it with my book, Know Your Worth, or you can do it apart from my book. Most people have been asking for one together, and here it is. You can head to the show notes below, sign up, get on the wait list, and make sure that you are on the wait list so that as soon as it comes out, you get your copy of the study so that you can run a study in the new year, get refreshed, or at any time, just come back to these truths. Okay, let's go ahead and get started into the episode. Now, the feeling that many women have about this is, I don't know why God loves me. I work with women all the time. When I'm talking with them about their physical, emotional, and spiritual health, in some way, shape, or form, this lie kind of comes out, or this feeling that they're feeling. I don't understand. I don't know why God would love me. There's a billion people in this world. Plus, why is he thinking about me and why does he love me? We already addressed the lie and the feeling, God doesn't care about me, and why would God care about me? And we discussed what happened in the beginning. Now we're discussing what happened on the cross. We're going to be talking about what Jesus did on the cross for you. But to kind of preface this a little bit, I think it's important that love can be relative to every person based on their life story. Some people love look like abuse at home. Others, they look like family vacations, you know, gifts. Others, it was comforting and kindness and, you know, that support. I think it's important that we understand our view of love in this world and how it relates to God's love, because obviously we want to be standing on God's love and what he says about love. If we're living in this world through our own version of love and what has been done to us, we will miss the Father's heart every single time. Because if we live from this place of abuse, or that love is conditional, or, you know, you begin to think that in order to be loved, you have to be this specific person or do all these things, we're not living from a Father's unconditional love. And it's night and day, my friend. Which is why I think that this feeling and this lie comes up so much, is because we're relating God's love to how we were raised and how our parents were to us, right? Maybe we've been bulldozed and steamrolled by our friends and our family that we just feel flattened. We feel flatlined. And we begin to think, why does God love me? Because why is this happening? And I don't understand. And that for me, my friend, was one of the hardest things. I didn't understand what was going on in my life. And I couldn't understand why God would love me because of what I knew and what I experienced. The thing I want to encourage you the most on is that no matter the situation, there is a love that transcends our pain. See, God is the only one who we owe nothing to, has no condition on his love, and can close the loop of our pain because he's the taker of our pain. He's not asking us to hold it, to stroke it, to rub it. You know, he's just saying, like, can I have this from you? And we often have many open loops of pain with people because we are imperfect and pain causes pain. And most of us are people walking around with pain. Here's the thing. God carries our pain, asks us to lay down the shame and pick up grace. Love by Google definition is an intense feeling or deep affection. A synonym used for the word love is intimacy. And this is one we often know. I heard one time a preacher say that intimacy is into me, you see. Because by definition, intimacy means close familiarity or friendship, basically just closeness. And that means that the closer we get to somebody, the more intimacy it creates or that we experience, which can cause many of us to pull away because they feel as though their mistakes are too big and their sin is too much. So then why would God love me? Because I am a mess. Can we say amen? Do we ever feel like that? Do we ever feel like we are such a mess and we're just like, why would God love me? Okay, I'm going to come in and wreck you a little bit here. See, the point is that it isn't about you or what you did or have done or will do. That's a hard one. Love is about what Jesus did on the cross. Our biggest problem, I believe, isn't the mistakes that we have made as much as receiving and believing with our whole heart the love displayed on the cross. I really don't think it's our mistakes or our sin. I don't think that's the biggest problem. I think it's actually receiving and believing with everything in us that he loved us enough to go to the cross. Because again, if we think about the world, it doesn't make sense. Because what we see right now is nobody would go to the cross for us. We see division. We don't see unity. We see if you don't agree with me, then I don't like you and I've been taught to unfollow you. And if we don't agree, then we can't be friends. Death was the penalty for sin. That was the price that had to be paid. Adam was a man. Jesus was fully man and God. Therefore, Jesus came as a man to restore the relationship broken with Adam and man. The atonement required a man's death because a man broke the covenant. God sent his son to pay a debt he couldn't owe, to pay in full a debt we couldn't pay. That sounds like a mouthful. I want to say that one more time, that God sent his son to pay a debt he didn't owe, to pay in full a debt we couldn't pay. There is no greater love than to sacrifice one's life. And many things happened on that day, but the most important thing that I want to understand is the fulfillment. See, up until the cross, we were left with the law. And the law was so many things. You know, one, we can look at it as love and life, which I know a lot of people don't look at it that way, but it was the first thing that we got from Moses that began to us for able to see, one, who Jesus was and what he was going to fulfill, but two, it held us to actually a standard of our own sin. Because if we don't know that we're sinning, we don't know that we're doing something bad or wrong. So when this law came along, one, it was nearly impossible, obviously, to fulfill all the laws by one person, but it was this idea of like, here is the image that I have created you to be. Love and life. It was this first step into redemption, into restoration of his people, of God with his people. The law led us, though, to the awareness of our sins and our desperate need for our Savior, right? I mean, the blood that was sacrificed during those times was really that prophetic act that was to come and that the blood was to be shed by Jesus. When Adam ate that apple, we became a slave to sin. We were no longer connected in that covenant with God. We became a slave to sin and a slave to the enemy. So grace, the cross, freed us from the law of sin and death. And Galatians 3:13 tells us that Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law by having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. These are our foundational roots that need to go deep within us. Our lens needs to switch from how we've been treated in this world or how we've treated others into this rooting of who God really is and how he views you and his idea of love and how he speaks to you. The deep burning in our heart is to understand, why does God even care? Romans 5:8 is just one example. I'm going to read it. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was the debt that we could not pay. I think we want something super big. We want something, okay, yeah, this is God's love. God, if you give me my prayers, if you answer my prayers, then I will believe that you love me. And I often think he wants our hearts. So he's saying, will you love and trust me first before you see anything else in this reality? God cares about you as an individual. He's present everywhere. He's all powerful and he's all knowing. No matter where you are, he's there. And you can't escape it. You cannot escape it. We know that he promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. See, if he broke that promise to you, then that means he broke his word. if he broke his word, then the world and his creation would fall apart because we are held together by the word of God. In the beginning, God. We learned about that last week. In the beginning, God. Therefore, he spoke life into existence. He spoke creation into existence. He is outside of time and space. He transcends the heavens. Therefore, it means that he continues to keep things into motion because his word stays in motion. We stay in motion because his word is true. Another beautiful thing I love to just visualize is that God is in the business of creating you more like his son, right? We were created in his image. Therefore, he's constantly molding you to be more like his son. It's in his image. Just like you would guide and direct and care for a child, your child, he cares for us. And discipline looks different from the Lord. Let's be honest. We don't live under condemnation and we are not condemned. We're not. But whatever we reap, we do so. God is not the author of sin. If God is not the author of sin, he cannot be the author of its consequences either. He's kind to put us on track. Yeah, no matter how much our flesh lusts against it, or it feels like a downgrade or a setback, right? When something doesn't go our way, and I've learned that trusting in the Lord doesn't mean I only trust when it turns out right or like I thought it should. And that's hard, right? That's hard. Leaning into the Father means no matter the outcome, God is always good because his endings are always good. God was just reconciling the world to himself, not to just some people. The provision was made before we became saints. It was already there. It was already set into motion. God didn't send Jesus so that you and I had to learn what to do in order to receive or get right with God or get something from God. Our right standing with the Father, our reconciliation was a gift that we received through faith. That's it. There is no other God out there that simply gives. Our Father is a giver, and he asks that we receive. We're on the other end. Now, yes, of course, he wants to partner with us and do these things with us, but despite your mistakes, regardless of the sin you committed, Jesus's blood covers it. That doesn't mean you go out and sin and do whatever you want. I'm not saying that. I'm not using the grace card. There's grace and peace, and they go together, but there's grace and repentance. And that's why scripture talks about Romans 2:4, it says the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So when we mess up, we should feel bad about our sin. It should lead us into repentance, not into shame. It should come to this place with the Father that I do not want to do that again. And repentance is not a bad word. It's not saying that, you're a terrible person. It's not saying, wow, you really screwed up. It's just saying that you are setting your eyes on a new direction. You're changing your old way of thinking and you want to think differently. That's it. You don't want to return to the old way. You want to go to a new way. So you're repenting of that way so that you can go toward the new truth. Sometimes it's just that humility and recognizing we just don't always get it right. There is a better way, a higher way, and the way is through Jesus. Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. We produce fruit when we keep in line with repentance. All right, here's your Know Your Worth reminder from this study. This is week 2 of the study that I kind of gave you some of the cliff notes on, that there is no greater love than of a father who sacrifices his son, period. We can go back to Abraham. Let's think about Abraham, right? Offering up his son Isaac. He travels for 3 days with wood that he cut up, left his animals down, climbed the mountain together with his son. They get everything lit. And Isaac goes, hey, dad, who's the sacrifice? He wraps up his son, Isaac, and Isaac lays down. And as soon as he was about to kill his son, God spoke and provided a sacrifice. We even see that example, that there's no greater love than a father who sacrifices his son. We think about the love that Abraham had toward God, but also toward his son Isaac. That's the kind of love that he continues and wants to lavish his love on you. Nothing is separating you from him anymore. See, your pain, your feelings, none of it. None of it gets to dictate your position in heaven anymore. And I'm just challenging you, will you stand when your feelings want you to run? Okay, I'm going to ask you couple questions. Now, these are some study questions, some evaluation questions or study questions at the end of week two study. And I'm not going to ask them all to you. I'm only going to give you a couple to give you a sneak peek of what's coming. But what did love look like to you? So your version of love may look different now, but can you remember a time that you didn't know love? How did it shape you? How did it shape who you interacted with or the people around you and in your everyday life? That's kind of one question wrapped up in a couple questions. Next, what does love look like to you now? Has it changed? If so, how has it changed? Do you have a hard time with the word love? What do you feel has been preventing you from experiencing it? Again, that was kind of a couple questions wrapped into one main question. And that's where I'm going to end today. You can get the cliff notes of the study by heading to the website, jessicahuddle.com/podcast. You'll also be able to sign up to get on the wait list for the Know Your Worth study. So excited for you guys to get it. Again, it's coming so soon. And maybe you're listening to it and it's already out, but guess what? It's free. That's okay. It's a 4-week study. Make sure you get it. Snag it up. Also, thank you for taking the time to leave a rating and review. It means so much. And it just, honestly, it helps get the word out there. I appreciate you and can't wait to talk to you again soon. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahuddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.